Hello and welcome to the Creative Process Podcast. I'm Harrison Engstrom, or better known on Twitter as @HarrisonTheFan. So welcome to the podcast, and today we're actually going to be talking about the recently released The Dark Knight Rises. I saw the film with a bunch of friends, Jess, Adam and Ben, and we talk about it. We enjoyed the film to some degree, but I do want to say mainly that this intro is to tell you that there are spoilers for The Dark Knight Rises, The Prestige, and oddly enough, 50 Shades of Grey. We kind of start talking about the film, and then we kind of just go off on our own pop culture tangents, which is what I really love about great podcasting, is when it's just you and your friends, and you're just talking about whatever, and I feel like that's what great podcasts do. So here is the first episode of the Creative Process Podcast with 50 Shades of a Dark Knight.
So we'll be fine. There you go. There is the money I owe for Dark Knight Rises.
You just gave me $10.
No, I just gave you $5.
Oh.
I'm gonna give you more. Anyway, it was gonna cost heaps more.
That's it.
Okay.
Yay.
All right. You'll enjoy the Dark Knight Rises. Don't worry. It follows the canon very, very well. That's all I'm gonna say. It does not beat the Dark Knight though. Now you'll have higher expectations because I told you about the low expectations.
Really, I wish Heath Ledger didn't die.
We all wish that, my man. That's how... Now we're probably going to cry. All right, let's go talk about The Dark Knight Rises. Where'd Jess go? Yeah, no, that's true. And they've got heaters out here. Like, we just sit here. It's really warm. Where'd Jess go? We're going to have to... Yeah, there's a heater right in.
Right above us.
Yeah.
Are you already recording?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, now I understand.
Yeah. So, but if we were inside, there's too much sweet jazz music.
It all makes so much
this
sense.
This episode is sponsored by Max Brenner, Chocolate Bar the Bald Man. So what did you got, just first impressions, like, as quickly as you can sum up your Dark Knight Rises experience? Ben, go.
Okay, it's enjoyable, but full of shit.
Okay, Adam, go.
Little bit on the nose.
That's a pretty good follow-up to his shit comment, because... Yeah.
Harrison, you?
I thought it was highly enjoyable, but not as good as The Dark Knight. It has a lot to... it has a lot to do with the Batman mythos, but in the end, I feel like the way that it went... is that... It's so warm. And no, it could have been darker. I would have liked the ending to be darker. So we probably should just say from here on out, there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
Jess, if you had some of your experience with The Dark Knight Rises.
I think it's really good. And Christian Bale said to you.
It's a wonderful summation, Jess, who's refused to talk. Time in.
Yeah.
All right, so I saw Batman Begins properly, like, not on TV and not in bits on YouTube, finally on the plane home. I thought it was really good. But where do you think, like, this, where Dark Knight Rises ranks?
In my opinion, like, I think that it's very much so like the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, a lot of people
make
that
comparison. In the fact that, like, you know, the second one's the best, first one's second best, third one kind of a disappointment
in
that sense.
No, that works the same way the Back to the Future series as well.
Absolutely.
And Indy.
Even maybe
except
Spider-Man.
The second one is shithouse. Second one for any other.
Yeah, the second one was horrible.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. It goes TDK, Batman Begins, and then Rises. I completely agree with you there.
Yeah. Hey. But in saying that, Rises compared to, like, you know, a lot of
We got some hot chocolate. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Adam. Sorry.
Milk.
Yeah.
And Italian.
Damiano.
Yeah. Grazie. Did you really get that?
Si.
No, do your whole review in Spanish. Oh, that wasn't racist.
God.
Italian.
Beautiful.
Italian.
It's like really marshmallows good? Are in there.
Is it marshmallows?
Oh, sorry. There's no marshmallows.
Okay, all right. Go on.
Prego, si signor.
Anyway, let's back on
topic. Okay, yeah. But yeah, so
I hated the ending. The ending was fucking shit.
You don't have to talk so loudly.
Yeah.
The ending was like, you could just end this really darkly, but you didn't.
If they would have ended it 60 seconds before it actually ended, it would have been a different movie.
So you would be happy with the fact that spoilers, JGL turned out to be Robin?
That was the thing that I almost hated most, because I remember when the series was first begun.
I wanted it so bad.
I remember when the series was first begun, Christopher Nolan came out and he was like, I'm never going to include Robin in my series.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. He just completely went against that. Like, you know.
I just felt like she had a, like, oh my god! Like, it's just halfway through that, like, scene. Because I was like,
heard
oh.
some sighs from the audience. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
When
it was like.
Seen alive.
Sorry?
When he was seen alive at the end.
No, when Robin.
With Robin. Said, yeah.
You should use a real name. Like, oh, what's his real name going to be? And she said, I'm like,
oh, because the whole movie he's just referred to as Blake.
Oh, wait, it just clicked.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm awake now, I'm good.
Sit on another table.
Are you serious?
I didn't think
you didn't get the fact that he's going to be okay.
Robin! Okay, Robin, I get it now. Oh. Yeah, I am
And
it took me a while.
It's okay.
We just saw The Dark Knight Rises, not The Amazing Spider-Man. Just wanted to point that out to you.
That being said, The Amazing Spider-Man was anything but amazing.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
No, I haven't seen it. Like, I avoided it like the fucking plague.
It's aimed for a younger audience, very much so. It's aimed for like 14-year-old boys.
Yeah.
14-year-old boys?
We're 14-year-old boys.
We're pretty young.
It's got no depth to it whatsoever. It's just all about, like... Yeah. And even though it's meant to be more character-driven, it's not. It doesn't tell the backstory of Peter Parker at all.
A lot of the,
And Garfield shit as Peter Parker. Not bad actor. Not Peter Parker.
I just remember seeing like the first reviews for it. It was like, it's Twilight for the it's Spider-Man for the Twilight generation.
Yeah,
and I was like,
absolutely.
That can't, like, you can't say that. And then like I started seeing the reviews. Like, the reviews aren't terrible. They're like, it's okay. It's like that nice friend in high school.
If
that's
you have
like,
no expectations
okay.
for it.
That's exactly
that means I'm drinking yours.
Milk?
Yeah, that was mine.
Oh, because I ordered. Wait.
Whoa, haven't
we
got?
What's going on?
Okay,
here?
We have one extra. No, we don't. Cool. I'll take one home with me.
I thought it was just like...
Sorry, what's happening, Sean?
I have a vanilla and I've got a milk chocolate now. Because I just assumed that you ordered.
I did.
Yeah, but I didn't think
you...
But
they didn't even charge it for me.
Should we take photos of our food and put it up on Facebook?
No, that's a terrible idea.
I'm kidding. Just
let me just turn my Instagram app on.
Are they going to give you, like, spoon or something?
Don't they call it hipstagram?
Because it's only meant to be takeaway.
You can go at it with your hipstagram.
So I have to go back and get a spoon.
Okay.
Hipstagram!
Instagram's already an app.
Just an Instagram. I love Instagram. I use it like a freak.
We should probably talk
more about film than our terrible app choices.
Add me on Instagram.
Let's start off with the character of Bane.
Bane's pretty good.
Played by...
Tom Hardy. Who really bulked up with that role. Like, that's him.
He would be...
He had a lot of chicken breast.
I would have liked him a lot more if I could
leaning into the
understand night. What he was saying 99.9%.
It was pretty clear the other 90% of the time. I thought it was pretty... he was like, I'm not going to change a thing. And I'm like, I didn't think he should have.
And he had a slight British accent. Why?
Because it's Tom Hardy. And he came from South Africa.
It was a South African accent.
It was a pretty bad South African accent.
Yeah, it was.
As bad as that guy in the opening.
Did
that guy was hilarious. With the wild, like, bushy hair. That guy was awesome.
I don't remember that.
Was it just me? Or did anyone else hate the Talia al Ghul twist?
Talia
al Ghul.
Oh, yeah,
But they didn't explain. Did they explain the scar
cheap?
In the back? Because
no.
I just thought.
No.
I just thought the scar in the back was like, you were clearly from prison.
It would have been better if Bane was just.
Is that it?
Is
that
what it is? And there wasn't any, like. No. They just try to tie all three movies together, and what better way to do it than. Oh! Ra's al Ghul and his daughter! No.
They were riding it by the seat of their pants. They were just like, yeah, let's chuck this in there. Yeah, that'd be
good.
But the thing is, like, I just kept thinking about Star Wars the second that happened. It was just like, they took the whole I am your father thing and they just switched it around. It's just like, we already knew your father, but now we gotta tell you your brother and sister. It was like half of the spoiler of... Is it Return or is it Empire where they revealed that Leia's the sister?
I don't know.
It's the third one.
It's Return.
It's the third one.
It's Return. Okay.
Holy shit.
Is it really good? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh no, he's getting on the track. Ben, you're supposed to be like the unconventional person here.
What the hell
like,
is this?
That's
I know, but I.
How much did you pay for that?
I paid $9.50 for
this. That's $9. That was $10. It's a souffle though, so.
It is a pretty good souffle. And it's got chocolate and shit in the middle. Alright, screw it. Because I've got strawberries at home, so I'll save most of this.
What do you mean unconventional and that I'm not allowed to like chocolate?
No, you mean to be the one that goes against the wave of, like, tradition. You're the one that's like, everyone likes Mike Brenner, I fucking hate it.
No, when they like chocolate, I have a special place in my heart always for chocolate.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure diabetics have a special place in their heart too for chocolate. Alright, so...
Yeah. Moving on.
Back on the top.
Sorry, back on the Bane.
Selena Kyle, how do you think...
I think she was the only positive thing about the movie.
I've never seen anyone play Catwoman, or like any in like any like version of Catwoman I've been more attracted to.
Yeah,
I think she nailed the role.
I look at everybody. Yeah. This is the same thing that happened with Heath Ledger and the Joker. Literally 4 years ago, everybody's like, oh, "This what? He's playing the Joker? That's stupid." Everybody's like, "What? She's playing Catwoman?" And now it's like the best characters in the Batman franchise.
That being said, though, I really hate when she re-enters the scene.
Yeah,
when
you can see her coming.
Yeah. Oh, but not just that. It completely.
I'm just trying to take Ben's.
Yeah, I know.
Chocolate again.
It it completely undercuts the death of Bane when she shows up, because she makes a joke about it. She's just like, oh, you know, there's the main villain in the movie. I'm going to shoot him off stage, and you're going to completely forget about it.
That'd be like at the end
and just make there no actual satisfaction for the end.
It'd be like if Darth Vader dies and like Han Solo comes in.
She way to end it.
Yeah.
But what about when Bane? Did any of you like Ben when the first time you're watching the movie? Did it ever click that? Okay. There's only one possible way this is going to end.
We should probably say that Ben's already seen this twice.
Yeah, this was my second.
Yeah.
You know what?
Is good on you.
The second, what's her name? French chick said when she was sitting in the crashed truck and she goes, "There's no way you're going to stop this bomb."
Yeah.
The second she said that, I'm like, "Oh, that's it. I already know exactly how it's going to end."
Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah. I felt that the entire time they just raised the stakes way too high, way too fast. They were just like, you know, from the get-go, they were just like, everyone's going to die, and there is nothing you can do about it.
You can't go anywhere higher than this for the whole third act.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what the trailer very much implied.
Yeah, and they kept trying to make it get worse, kind of thing. Like, you know, when they had needless little complications here and there, like when Jim Gordon is on the truck, just before he's about to get in there, how he drops the little signal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no reason for that. It's like a useless 3 seconds.
He's old and clumsy. Like, no, that's just, it's bullshit. It's
exactly. They're just trying to increase tension when they actually can't go any further.
But it works. It works on the usual audience. Like, there was a guy behind me. When that happened, he gasped out loud. Like, and I was like, really? That still works? Like, after literally a whole century of cinema, just the, oh no, I've dropped it. Oh, I've only got so much left to pick it up. Oh my god. Like, that still works. That's good. Good on.
I found it funny though, like the camera when it crashed, the camera actually went down into the next level, and like the door swung open and just pops out. I found that a little bit funny.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't stand that.
It's just
they both survived that crash.
It's too clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, as I keep saying, that movie just makes me bloodthirsty.
It would be.
I just want everyone to die because
in
the Dark Knight, like, they kill off Rachel Dawes. Who else do they kill off? Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
They kill off two of the main characters, and then in this movie, they have, you know, five characters that they can possibly kill off and get away with, and they just don't.
No.
Like, especially like, you know, when they start flooding the underground thing, I was like, oh, good, Lucius Fox is dead.
Yeah, yeah,
thank God.
Yeah.
And then he gets out somehow.
He turns out, and he's fine. It's just like, I feel like going through Toy Story 3 and obviously, I thought this was going to be an amazing conclusion, and it was, but it wasn't better than the other ones.
Yeah. It didn't conclude. Like,
no,
it's still
no,
left
it did not.
It's itself completely open for a sequel.
And the thing is that it's not going to be a sequel because they're just going to. They're actually. I read this morning that.
Yeah, they're rebooting.
Rebooting the Batman series.
What?
Yeah,
what?
They've already announced the
reboot. Yeah, because they want to do what Marvel did with the Avengers, and they know it's going to take some time, and that they fucked up the Green Lantern. Green Lantern?
Yeah,
Green Lantern.
They're going to start the whole reboot with the Superman.
That Man of Steel trailer was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that actually. I'm looking forward to it, even though it is the exact same story
as
the
Batman.
Dark Knight.
Yeah, it was just like, well, origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and,
it's like
and
sad.
About you being a symbol to all mankind instead of being
like... Are
they
seriously running out of ideas?
No, they're not.
Go see Looper when that comes out.
What?
Yeah.
With Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
I'm talking about... In general.
I shouldn't drink this. It's a bad idea.
Like,
sorry.
Drink it.
They're clearly just like, you know, well, I, this is what my theory is. It's the fact that there's that whole economic crisis going on. So movies are trying to play it safe.
Yeah.
To, keep audiences coming into their seats.
Yeah.
What, you know...
It's not a theory.
Continue,
That's it's basically... What usually happens is they usually get somebody who has a fairly original idea. And then they usually will take that to different studios who own different properties and be like, can we put this with that? And then they'll usually have something like Loop. That's why Looper is fucking amazing to me, where it's like, they could have put Back to the Future, they could have put Die Hard tacked on to the end of that, but they just kept it Looper, and then they got the fucking guy from Brick to direct it, which is going to be, like, if you've never seen Brick, you should definitely see Brick.
Yeah, Paul recommended it.
So I just think that, yeah, no, Luca is going to be pretty good, and...
I know, the trailer didn't sell me, but trailers never sell me, so...
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like they added all of these new characters. Like, this is the problem that I usually have with sequels, where they'll add new characters just to kill them off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, well, you had a really good cast...
That was able to get killed off.
That was easily
that's like,
just like
the Foley character, the blunt replacement. No point to his character in the entire film except
there's
to die. And they don't even show any wounds on him.
No.
Apparently he got like shot up, but there's no blood, there's no bullet holes,
he's
there's
dead.
Nothing.
But that makes me think, like the way that Lucius's scene was when he was getting flooded. I mean, you didn't see him leave the city, you didn't see him rise, but that was literally the last thing you saw of him in the movie. Do you think maybe that the studio had some sort of influence about who
Lucius
died?
I don't think so, because Nolan's always for a happy ending.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, he is.
The Dark Knight was not a happy ending.
Yeah, it was. The way that Gordon's final little inspirational thing was not only a happy ending, but it was also a tease of the sequel. Same thing with Inception is, it does have an ambiguous ending, but it still has a sort of happy ending.
Yeah.
Same thing with, if you've ever seen Memento, the way that ends slash begins, still kind of a happy ending. Like, it's always... If you've seen most of Nolan's films, he always ends on a fucking speech.
The Prestige, though. The Prestige is
Holy
what I
shit,
consider
the
to be...
The Prestige
his,
is wonderfully dark.
The Prestige is his best film, in my opinion, and it's because it doesn't have a happy ending.
No.
It ends with you realising, wait a second, this guy is murdering himself and over and over.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like Batman needed to do, to actually murder himself in the end. Like, to actually...
But you know that if he died, like...
Which he needed to.
But I feel like this is more of like the fact that we're a much more media savvy environment now, is that if he died, that spoiler would have leaked by now, and it would have killed some of the sales.
Well, so like I don't think you should sacrifice it for good storytelling.
And
especially
if
Christopher Nolan's doing that sort of thing, then I'm really disappointed because you know Christopher Nolan's one of the few people who's actually making original good cinema these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, even though you have. You know, you didn't really like Inception.
Yeah, but we'll see, that's the thing. Like, I appreciate Inception for its attempt, but I thought that it just failed in actually pulling it off.
I need to hear.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, we've already gone through this.
Yeah, exactly.
We can state it for the other people.
Too many times.
Too many times. I just like bringing it out. Like, I'm really bored at a party. I'm like, hey, man! Hey!
You
want to talk about
Inception?
Let's watch Inception!
No! No, yeah,
well,
no, there's
Nolan
so
doing?
Many little things, like, especially, okay, the thing that pissed me off most, oh, there's a lot of things that pissed me off most in that movie, but the Ra's al Ghul scene, when Liam Neeson waltz backs in, and then he fades out, what are we, in the 90s?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what is that?
I was like, can he, like, he's not gonna be real, but if he is real, that would be cool, and then he just isn't, and then it's like, Wayne,
even
like,
if
ah!
he like, walked backwards
no.
into shadow, that would be better
oh, God,
than
yeah.
him fading,
yeah.
like...
Yeah. Like, if he walked out in the shadow and then, like, the doctor came in just like, how are you healing? And I'm like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly, because that would have been, like, kind of ambiguous, but it still would have been like, no, he was in a daze.
If Ra's al Ghul was still alive... Because you don't see him dead. You don't see a dead body at the end of Batman Begins. Like, it's still highly possible that he's still walking around being like,
and
you can't kill me!
And the whole Ra's al Ghul thing is the fact that he's, you know,
I've been
immortal,
taken.
Apparently, like...
But at the same time, I did like how they brought back, Cillian Murphy... And Scarecrow.
That was
and
good.
How
oh,
he's
shit, yeah.
on the top.
Oh god, that was so
papers.
Perfect. Well, he's in The Dark Knight as well, because Batman doesn't kill his villains. Like,
he's
that's
only
the whole
in The
thing.
Dark Knight for a few seconds, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the opening. But I just love, he's always got this, when he yells, there's like this pit, like he's just, like it's almost like Cillian Murphy's always just hit puberty.
Yeah.
And his voice just falls off the end, or it's always amusing.
I think they're going to want to be getting rid of us soon.
We will probably, we can wait it out. We paid, it's not like we're loitering. You still got a souffle to finish.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to finish it.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I'll
eat it.
It's
all
so
you
good.
Want, man.
I love this.
Whoever wants any more, like,
let's try it.
It is so rich. It's not funny. Like,
this chocolate is Italian.
It's,
it's so rich.
What does that mean? I
likes Italians. Rich Italians.
Rich dark
rich
Italians.
Yeah. you can see his profile on matchmaker.com. But no, I feel like... So what are the upsides we can at least say about Dark Knight Rises?
It was entertaining. Like,
it was
it was fun. Like, you know, and, like, I don't know, the Batcopter, like, that's... Just,
of the Bat?
Yeah, of the Bat.
The Bat.
Like, Batcopter is what I'm going
to
call it.
It's pretty much a Batcopter.
I can't call it the Bat because people are going to be like, you mean Batman? Like, no, it's just going to...
How sweet is the Bat? Yeah, Batman's pretty sweet. No, I mean the vehicle. Like, no, yeah, man. He's a vehicle force of nature. Yeah.
Some of the
driving
some...
through crime.
I'd have to say, like, his Batman's re-entrance into Gotham, is, like, that whole action sequence, like, outdoes...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Almost outdoes the truck sequence.
Especially the camera angle when absolutely. He was, he had the cops coming from both sides.
Mm.
See, no, that ruined, that's that ruined close. For me, because, the first time I watched it, for some reason, there's this guy wearing a high-vis really vest that caught my eye, and...
Yeah. Okay, alright. Oh, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, like,
sorry, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, there's this extra, like, from that bird's eye view shot, there's this extra wearing a high viz vest. And he caught my eye when I first watched it. And if you actually watch him, you see him run through the crowd and not actually fight.
What?
Like, yeah, you see him just running around people and just keep running until he goes off screen. Just like,
that's
wait,
awful.
What? Yeah, oh, there's so many little things like that that are just really awfully done.
Oh, like, man.
You know, and just.
No, there's like, yeah, there's one thing that I noticed during the. Was it the final fight sequence with the cops and the...
Yeah.
Is that
big comic.
Yeah, most of them would get shot. Like, you would see squibs go off, and only one of the guys fell down.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like,
and
I get, like, it's, they're
not
Legolas. They've
got a lot of guys
with,
like, machine guns.
Yeah,
like,
the machine guns. Like, and, like, clearly these guys have been trained by fucking stormtroopers, because they're not getting one shot in the head or anything.
Yeah.
Like, that one, if you were a personal army, that's the, but you just shoot them all in the head. Like, it's,
and they spend
it's a
so much
PG-13
time
film.
Early. Yeah, but still,
I would love it if they still gave Nolan the budget to make an R-rated Batman film, because
well,
he would knock
it
out of the park.
Even if they push it to, like, an MA rating or something.
No, but, like in the US, they have to make it R.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the thing. Like, it's PG-13 or R. Like, it's... Mm. I don't know why there's no...
There's no M?
No, it's G-PG, PG-13, R, NC-17X.
Yeah, PG-13 is our M.
Yeah, yeah. Well, pretty much. It's like, but our PG-13's, like, their PG-13's pretty much our PG...
No,
on
it's
more
about
than
their
some
M,
occasions.
Because our M is not bad. Our MA
yeah, yeah.
is to be bad, but
MA is hardcore.
Well, our PG and our M kind of, like, there's no real difference between them most
yeah.
of the time.
They literally.
Like, slight blood or violence.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
That's one thing I've always hated about the fact that, like, it's PG's parental guidance, but M is, like, it's mature. But then, if you take a parent with you to guide you into an MA-15 film, it's totally fine. Or
yeah.
somebody
I'm pretty sure Twilight with M. So
yeah, yeah, no, all the Twilight films are M.
Yeah.
So.
Even though there's no blood.
Oh, it's because of sexual references and
yeah.
adult themes. And
yeah.
All that
well, not really
stuff.
Adult, more like kindergarten tween.
Yeah.
tween, yeah.
Tween themes.
Fucking tween.
Tween themes.
That
tween
is Twilight.
Like,
tween
themes.
Themes. Yeah.
It's like the whole series.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I want to keep bitching about this movie because, you know,
yeah,
I'm
we can keep
yet.
Going.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm taking you home anyway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not done bitching about it at all because,
like, we can, like, walk through the story.
Yeah,
like, I mean, we can just walk somewhere undercover, but, like, if one of you guys has to go...
Yeah.
We're at Macca's.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, was there a Macca's around here? I'll have to pause this podcast.
Gorilla.
And I'll put in, like, a musical part in the middle. And it's like...
Do, 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 do.
Just have, like, the Batman
do,
thing.
Do, do, do.
How'd you find
do,
the pacing?
Do,
pretty awesome.
Yeah, the pacing
there was
really
never
good, actually,
the one
really.
Thing, like, that I remembered about The Dark Knight... Is that there are still some parts where, if I'm watching it on Blu-ray, where it's just like, oh, it's this scene. Dark Knight Rises, like, obviously, this is the first time I've seen it, but there was never a part where I'm, like, sighing or restless or...
No,
yeah,
not
yeah,
so
put a,
much.
Put a cover on it. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to see it again, because, you know...
I thought the pacing was jolting.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I felt the beginning and the middle part.
Well, the beginning was very jolting,
yeah.
I will give you that.
Well,
it kind of pushed you right to the very end, like, I don't know, some tedious scenes or some scenes that were slower, pushed you right to the very end, so you were literally just about to be like, and then it picked up. I
yeah.
found that, like, it really hits desperation, and then it picks up.
Yeah.
And then when it's like, when it's got your heart thumping, it slows down, and then
yeah,
it slows right
yeah.
down. And it's like, oh my god.
You know, I just remembered the scene where, Bruce and Talia are making out, and
yeah.
they have in the fire.
That was fucking hot as shit.
No, I
fucking no. I just want to say this out.
Obviously,
was, where no,
trying
no, no,
to make
no. I know that's not the
hot.
Sorry,
hot
you finish,
was.
And then I will
Bruce
add my
when
Bruce and Talia, the French chick, Marion Cotillard.
When they were making out, oh, in the fire.
What's his
yeah,
name? Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
yeah.
Was that necessary? That scene?
No,
there is no sexuality in the Batman
I
series
know.
At all. And then I'm
I
just like, what the? My Dark Knight's Rising. This is incredible. This is, like, so hot.
Were you sitting in the entire movie waiting to use that line?
Yes, I was. No,
he's a pun and a half today.
It was
yeah.
just like, that was so good. Just that whole, because it's just like, well,
yeah.
I find Marion Cotillard hot because she's just got these amazing proportions.
Is she really?
Yeah, like
yeah.
That port-
I'm fucking
that
serious.
That portrait
man.
Shot of her when she picks up the picture,
yeah.
just like, whoa, where did those come
yeah.
from? That is exactly what I think. From front on, she doesn't look that well.
I know.
Out,
that's what
but,
I'm saying. It's like this
yeah.
is the first time I've noticed her rack, and it's like, wow, that's. That's gonna wow.
She just
yeah.
had a baby 2 months before filming.
Yeah.
She had a baby.
Oh, so they're gone now.
And yeah.
And he actually made room for her. Like, apparently he filmed all her shots.
Oh, later. Sorry, yeah, yeah. Well, that's probably why she was, like, shot from, like, the way... Like, she was shot from the breasts up for most of that first half of that film.
Well. Yeah.
That's, like, from the first time you see her when she's at the benefit. Is it the first time you see her?
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Well, she's shot from back, like...
Well, that's like, it's an old sitcom sort of thing where they would have...
If you shoot directly from your back, you actually don't see the bump.
It's an old sitcom sort of trick where they have somebody who's pregnant, they'll usually put something, they'll usually block a scene.
Like with couches.
With like couches and stuff. Like if you watch like the second or third season of Seinfeld, Julie Louis Dreyfus is pregnant and they'll block it with bags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the nanny made like a really, really good joke about that when whoever plays Cece was pregnant.
Yeah.
And they make a reference to it and that's what's
and,
good.
And there's like when Dee is pregnant in...
Yeah, and Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny, yeah. They spend, like, several episodes with just sticking her behind the bar. And, there's even an entire scene where she's carrying a box, which is clearly just, like, being slotted over her stomach kind of thing. It's like, what are you doing? But, no, I just remembered what a giant plot hole in The Dark Knight Rises, like, giant glaring plot hole that I didn't, like, think
you
about
didn't
until
cover
then.
Before?
No, I didn't realise it until watching it this time, and it's,
oh, we just want to say now that it's after midnight and the Max Brenner people are shutting the door, we probably should be...
Yeah, like, they've all packed right. up the entire
restaurant. Except for the tables. Alright, we'll make a move.
Yeah.
And we'll just, pause. And... Okay, alright. So Ben was saying...
Yeah,
right before we pause. Yeah.
So this giant plot hole, basically, they make that, like, they establish the fact that, that Bruce Wayne is dead broke. Like, he's got no money.
Yeah, when he
gets thrown into the pit. How does he then get back from the Middle East, like the middle of the desert in the Middle East, back into Gotham?
After, to be fair,
after
he takes,
the movie's
he
been
takes
sealed off,
he takes
and
15
he has no
days
money.
To do it. He takes 15 days to do it, so he probably had to give a lot of bad hand jobs.
No,
or bad jobs.
Like, how does he then get back into Gotham, though?
No, that's a good point.
How does he get into the city?
I feel like it's one of those, like, it's those things that are, like, it's a plot hole other than, like, it's Batman. But it's, like, that's still a plot hole.
Wait, he lost in his face as well when he got back?
Yeah.
He was visibly skinnier in his face, unless that was CGI.
No, that's not CGI making people skinny.
You look like
you can make people look thin and bony by CGI.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That, well, I guess, like, if, yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of wind on this part. Yeah. But yeah, there is like always those plot holes of like how did this person get there and it's
the entire movie is filled with them, though. That's the thing, like, you know, there's that
how did Selina like break into that fucking guy's apartment and steal those jewels?
Why did Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character show up just on time for when Batman gets kicked out of the board meeting? How did he actually know who he was?
They didn't
actually explain, like, he was just like, oh, I met you once, but it doesn't actually explain how he knew he was Batman at all. He kind of just waltzes in and he's just like,
I thought they were like trying to, I thought they were trying to refer to him.
Thing.
I thought that, like, in The Batman Begins, there's that part where the Scarecrow unleashes all of the gas onto the city by draining the water supply or whatever. I thought he was that kid from that scene that Lieutenant Gordon saves, but then it's like, how do you know that that's Batman still? That doesn't make any... Like, how do you know that Bruce Wayne's
Batman? Exactly, because he doesn't reveal it at that point.
No.
Like...
I have no idea where we're walking, guys.
We're walking.
Well, alright, well, I don't know where you parked. Alright, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, we can pause that for now, then.
All music provided by Ben. We're just underneath the cinema we were at, and you could kind of hear some of the Dark Knight Rises.
Which part is it?
Well, like, clearly
it's
fine.
The final battle scene.
So Ben and I were just discussing in the car about DreamWorks and trilogies and shit.
We were kind of saying
that, like, it's hard to say that there are perfect trilogies. It's really hard, but like, if I had to put it down to it, like a fucking gun to my head situation, it'd probably be like,
run the trilogy,
run the fucking trilogies. The Toy Story. The original Star Wars and The Dark Knight, it's very close.
Lord of the Rings for me.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
You always forget Lord of the Rings.
That's true. Because I hadn't watched the originals at all, and then Katie, like, we marathoned the extended edition over a bunch of nights. fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And like seeing, I can't watch the original cut versions now because they're just like, they miss out so
same
much.
Same with me, yeah.
They're like, there's so much missing that is like genuinely necessary. Like how Sauron dies.
Yeah.
Sorry, Saruman dies.
Yep.
Like you need to see that shit. Like it's really cool. But yeah, what did you guys discuss in the car?
They we drove separately.
Cars. You guys drove separately?
We talked telepathically.
We did. They called each other and they're like, hey, we're just in cars by ourselves.
What are you wearing?
The car bros. But like, we walked under the theater and we could hear some of the
Dark
movie.
Dark Knight Massacre.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
It was like the worst.
No, really funny thing actually. Someone from Lulix was in the cinema. Yeah, like
that somebody on Reddit was on there too.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was crazy. Like reading it, I couldn't get to sleep. So I thought, I'll read Reddit. It'll cheer me up. I just felt so depressed.
It was the same with me because I was lying in bed. I was like, I need to go to sleep. And then I just started reading through Lulix. I'm like, I can't sleep now. It was crazy.
It's like Lulix kind of feels like sort of a prehistoric Reddit.
It was, but it's dying. Like
it's dying?
Yeah, it's dead.
What do you mean?
Well, Lulix stopped working. Like when Mega Upload went down, Lulix basically died. Is it?
Kim.com is just like, Mega Upload's coming back. It may not be me, but it's coming back. Like,
yeah.
Because like, he doesn't have any, nobody has a good case against him. He'll be like the finale of copyright cases.
Yeah. Mm. Did he try to
kill himself? He'll be the Dark Knight Rises.
Like, Columbine.
Yeah, topical.
Put on the screen.
I don't know. But yeah. I don't like read it at all. Reddit. It's read it.
Back to The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there was like, Columbine was fucking trending on Twitter, like, before I left. Because it was in Colorado. And then people were like, oh, it's as bad, it's as worse as, like, I think the situation is awful. Mm. I think that it's really bad, and I regret saying what I said this morning on Twitter, and that was really bad. But it's not the film's fault, and this guy was clearly...
Didn't it happen with The Matrix as well? When the first one came out, some guy went nuts because he thought he was living in The Matrix? Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. No, but it wasn't because of The Matrix. It's just tied into that because it was came out around the same time. It'd be like if you blame Casablanca for World War II.
People can get that involved, though, in a movie.
I don't know the chronology. That is true, but that's
and
a
I
single...
I
found
that right now that he was Bane. He actually didn't... He dressed up as Bane.
He was dressed up as Bane.
Which is... What's it
no!
Called? Yeah.
Yeah, he was armoured and everything.
They do realize that Bane is the villain,
and
right?
He came in and had open fire during one of the fight scenes.
No, that's not true.
Because
talked...
people in the audience thought it was part of the film.
No,
the gunshots and
but all
realize.
Of that was bullshit. They actually talked to a bunch of eyewitnesses this morning, and he came in just in the opening scene where Bruce is talking to Alfred for the first time. Every fucking newspaper in TV story has gotten it wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's always going to happen. It's always going to get sensationalized.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's this. Like, it's probably been the biggest news day
for a while.
For a very long time.
Apparently,
for everybody.
It was the biggest massacre in American history.
Oh no,
that's bullshit.
12 people died.
12 people died.
But that's what they said. That's what they said. I know.
Exactly.
How many people died?
Again, it's a sensation. Well,
wasn't it 13?
I was pretty sure it was 13. And a lot more people have died in a lot worse massacres.
Yeah, there was more, like, there was...
It is sensational.
What about the Unabomber?
Yeah, the Unabomber killed a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, he killed, like, 186 people.
Yeah, or VTech.
Yeah. How many he getting
that? He got, like 20.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, no, 32.
32.
Disrobing the controversy.
Oh, I'm sick of that book.
What?
Yeah, 50
Shades of Grey.
Disrobing the controversy.
It's not a controversy. It's literally somebody took the plot of Secretary and just stretched it out to three boring ass
books. And we sell them like that. I get about 6.
I know.
That's because people feel like they have to read it.
I was in a sex shop like a couple of weeks back, and we were talking to like the guy who owned it there, and he was saying that like every retailer is like running out, but we can order them on the fly.
Oh yeah.
Like it'll come in 2 days and then get sold in 2 weeks. Like
I don't get it. I just don't
get
it.
Do you know what it's about, right? Like
it's fan fiction of Twilight.
No, it's bondage fan fiction.
Yeah, but yeah, I know.
People think they have to read it.
I think we're going to get off topic now, but we should keep going with this.
Yeah, we can be off topic.
We can be off topic. We talked about The Dark Knight. We thought it was okay. It wasn't that great.
Yeah.
From Saul.
Yeah, but with 50 Shades of Grey, it just like...
3.5 stars.
I don't know. Well, like...
I disagree, Paul.
I'm gonna kill you, Margaret!
I disagree, Margaret.
Really
50
not.
Shades of Grey, like, Mills and Boone has existed for how many years now?
But they
like,
haven't got anybody tied up in it. They were actually, in the US, they're selling copies of the book with bondage kits now. For like 50 US, you can get the
Did
trilogy.
You read that,
that's
that
gross.
That article that was saying that the book was designed for women to be more experimental during sex?
But it's not experimental because I've
I haven't read the book itself, but I've seen I've seen excerpts of it, and it's quite.
Who said that?
It's
a man?
It's not like. Have you guys seen the movie Secretary?
No.
Article by a have woman, you? A feminist, and I was like, what the heck?
Wait, Adam, have you seen the movie Secretary? With Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, she's bent over.
Yeah.
Good summation there.
but it's like the character in it in Secretary is known as E. Edward Gray. That's the name of a character. And like I can see like there's not that many similarities between the book and the film because the film is 10 times better and much more enjoyable. Mm. And actually, like I'm not into that kind of thing, but that film is really sexy and really, really well done. And that's the only time I've been attracted to Maggie Gyllenhaal ever. But the book series, well, what else?
Every movie she's in,
she's not sexy in The Dark Knight.
I don't think that she's sexy necessarily.
Okay, right, yeah.
She's telling she's attractive. Cuteness.
Wait, yeah, what? She's just attractive. Like I don't know, I really like her in what's that? In Stranger Than Fiction, I love her in that.
Oh god,
I reckon
yeah.
She's like the perfect kind
she's
of like
the baker. Isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah,
yeah, that
no,
really kind of like hipster kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's good. Anyway.
You should. Everybody should see that movie as well, Stranger Than Fiction, and Safety Not Guaranteed, which has none of the people. It just came out. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
But I think that the main thing with like 50 Shades of Grey is that it's just it feels like it's something that the mainstream usually don't attract to, and now that it's become mainstream that people are going to experiment with it and a few people are going to maybe do it wrong or not understand it entirely, and it's going to be I feel like a lot of people
are going to walk around going, I didn't get that from my husband.
Yeah, exactly, that's the problem. Like people are going to think it's the norm when I'm not putting anybody down who does it, but it's not necessarily the norm.
It's just
I think it's a great to experiment. I think it's a wonderful idea to
okay,
do
now,
that.
Now, I want one of those.
Oh, the jets, the jet set things?
Water
jet pack. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
pretty awesome.
Yeah. They're like 60.
Sorry, we're flicking through the Daily. Is it Daily Telegraph?
Yeah.
The Telegraph. It's the Daily Telegraph. But, yeah, no, 50 Shades of Grey by itself, like the idea of it by itself isn't a bad thing, but I feel like the book itself isn't that great.
No,
I just think
I should read it.
Fan fiction though, that is where it's wrong.
That's where it started, wasn't it? It was originally a fan
yeah,
fiction.
It was originally Twilight fan fiction, and then they were just like, oh, let's just change everything so we can actually resell it.
The Porn Ultimatum by Janet.
The angry feminist, the greatest sin of 50 Shades of Grey is to make erotica the polite word for porn mainstream. That is hilarious.
I mean that's kind of what erotica
has always been.
I mean, like, there's...
But why...
Sorry, you were saying?
Okay, but my question is, why does this book come out? Like, there's been these kinds of books for a long time. Why this book? Why
because
now?
It's not behind the counter anymore. It's just in the shelves.
Like, I went into a shop, I think it was Kmart, 2 weeks ago, and then the new one at Chicago Square, and literally in the K, like, there's, like, these stacks of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
They just have them
but
stacked
that's,
in
that's
there.
What yeah. I, like,
and it's like, as soon as you walk in, you're just confronted by, you know,
yeah.
this 50 Shades of Grey, buy
but
me.
But the fact that
I'm what everyone's
that's
reading.
The thing,
it's
thing.
Like
when
talk
I
about
first,
me with all the
when
other
when I
housewives.
First heard about it, I went on to my, like, because I read a couple of, like, I use iBooks on my iPhone
yeah.
to just read books when I'm on trams and stuff like that, because I use public transport a lot.
I've got
a
reader for that.
I feel like you just really need to, like, mm-hmm. exacerbate
oh, no,
the situation.
I'm explaining to the audience.
I've got trams in Melbourne! I love my iBooks on my iPhone!
Fuck you. But anyway, you know, it's better than this shithole, but no.
Where we are is pretty bad.
But yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I remember, like, just going on there and seeing that, you know, the top three, like, sale books were the three in the series, and I was just like, oh, I'd never heard of it before. And the cover looked interesting. I really liked the title for it.
The cover and the title are actually pretty...
Yeah,
pretty,
like, they were very intriguing.
It sets a different story,
This is
actually.
What the synopsis is described
okay,
as.
Yeah.
A handsome Christian Grey educates a young college student, Anastasia Steele, about her blossoming sexual
appetite. Anastasia Steele? That sounds like a porn name.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
That's
it.
Sure that's all they've described the plot as.
But that sounds awful. Like, it's the fact that he's teaching. Like, I'm not a feminist kind of person, but it doesn't seem. I feel like if that's a woman's fantasy,
teaching a student.
Like, it's.
There's nothing original about this book. If this book was doing something original and fresh and new, then yeah, go for it. But no, it's just doing the same thing that all those other books are doing.
Yeah, but it's. But yeah, like I said before, it's just out in the open now.
It's just pop culture. It's just people just reading it,
well,
and therefore it just became more popular.
I think it's a reaction to Twilight itself, kind of thing, because
you have all this repression.
Yeah, exactly. You had Mormonist propaganda just being like, no, can't have sex until you're married, blah blah blah, and then you have all these audiences who aren't actually Mormon or Christian or have that kind of religious hang-up, and they're just like, wait, no, I want to have sex a lot.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, yeah, let's just do the same story, but with, like, sex in it
yeah,
all
I
the
mean,
way through. And, like, not just regular sex, but, like, really kinky sex.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
It's like, it is that kind of like tightly wound suppression that it always happens. It's happened through almost every medium in sort of this recursive stage. Like in TV,
The author is a middle-aged woman, a mother of two. Oh, wow. That's no shocker.
Good on her.
It sounds like Anna Arakat.
It really
Stephanie Meyer is pretty much the same thing. Yeah. She's a mother of two and...
Yeah.
E.L. James.
Just sexually repressed bitch.
Jesus!
They mentioned secretary.
Edit that out.
They mentioned secretary?
Where? Sorry, yeah, go on.
It says, raging commercial success is a turn-off for many of the book's critics. For them, only pretentious porn books such as The Sexual Life of Catherine M. and art house porn movies such as Secretary are acceptable.
So wait, it just downgraded two actually really good forms of fiction which deal with bondage issues
porn
compared to...
The Daily Telegraph has always been a very right-wing, publication.
I don't want to. I should probably say this. I don't want to buy the book.
Yeah.
Because I'm extremely poor at the moment.
I just came back
from a very expensive trip. But yeah.
Okay, but
I could probably.
Do you remember when we were doing that? When we were doing editing and we're looking at covers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at this cover.
What? Yeah.
Okay. First thing.
I just meant something with this.
Okay. All right.
Women's liberty has challenged the natural order of things, she says, in all seriousness. So women need to be reminded of their place by submitting to the sexual desires of men.
Need to be reminded of their place by submitting to the sexual desires of men. Wait, who said this? Was this the author? Or was this the author of the article?
I think it's a quote from the author.
Well, hang on, check on that. Sorry, you were saying
that's disappointing.
About the book cover.
Oh yeah. But still, a disappointing quote.
Very.
From whoever, it's a disappointing.
Okay. The reason like J.K. Rowling used J.K. was initially because was it a publisher said that you're going to sell more books
I seriously thought it was a dude until Jess said that.
Same thing. That book, the cover is very masculine. It doesn't say anything about erotica. It doesn't say anything about a female.
And it has a tie on the front, like a purely male symbol.
And grey. There's no colour. There's no red. There's nothing sexual about the cover at all.
It's all on the inside.
It's a very cold cover. I mean, what's... I don't...
Well, that's what intrigued me, first off. Like, you know, to go back to what I was saying. Like, so I was on iBook, and I was just looking through. There was, like, you know, it was the top sellers. And I was like, oh, never heard of this. Like, I'll actually go see what it is. So, you know, I looked up the Wikipedia article for it, and just straight away, I was just like, nah. No. Like, I was never more turned off a book by, like, a single sentence than, like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey.
I feel like this is, like you've said, like, this is sort of, like, not necessarily the evolution, but this is the next step from the Twilight series.
I really think it's making more sense that it's like a follow-on from Twilight in erotica. It says here that there's a line, apparently there's a scene in here, it's just talking about it, where the main girl, Anastasia, she's, like, eyeing the dents on her skin, on her wrist, after they've done S&M and whatnot, and she says that it's sexy, she describes it, while looking at, like, the wounds on her wrists.
See, like, that's the thing, is that I feel like a lot of people are getting their... I always think it's bad to get your sexual knowledge from fiction, because it's fiction. There's some nice moves that you can pick up. I'm just saying that out. Yeah, like, but I feel like ultimately, like, it's just a bad idea. Not that I believe in meteor effects, but I feel like some people do read in too much. Like, they always forget to detract themselves from the fact, like, this is fiction. That being said, I probably wouldn't have known about eating out except for American Pie. Like, that's...
Really?
That's, yeah. I watched it, like, when I was, like, I don't know, 11
Yeah,
12,
but, like, you'd think that you'd watch enough porn by, at this point in your life to be able to know what cunning linguist is, like...
I don't know, a lot of people just avoid seeing that kind of stuff. Like, they probably just fixate on blowjob videos and such.
Yeah.
Or anal. Like, I feel like a lot of people are gonna, like, some people are gonna grow up thinking, like, anal is the norm.
Well, there's a lot of people who do this. You talk to guys and they're all like, yeah, like, stick it in the ass, like, just gotta put it up the pooper, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you talk to one girl who actually really enjoys it, kind of thing. Like, I'm still yet to really, like...
I'm pretty sure Anastasia Steele enjoys it.
I just want to know, like, I feel like that would be the last taboo if you just had a whole, like, mainstream porn book just about anal. 50 Shades of Brown!
Anal. What would be the plot? Just, like, I'm just imagining just, like, you know, the scene where she explains how, like, she's relieved of constipation or something like that. Like, now she's turning into Zach and Mary make a porno.
She's dating a proctologist.
Yeah. I'm going to be putting things inside of you and you're going to enjoy it. Actually, yeah, there's a video on YouTube of the guy who does the voice of Duke Nukem reading out excerpts of 50 Shades of Grey.
No way!
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Everybody YouTube John St. John 50 Shades of Grey after this. I'll put a link underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, like, every single time that... Yeah, no, I'll edit it out. Hang on. I think it's always fun to see, like...
Where's Coco the Train?
Sorry, we're looking at the classifieds and the personals at the moment in the Daily Telegraph.
And all the ones that actually catch your eye are the porn.
We said the thing is, like, there's never nudity. Like, that's the thing. I always feel like pornography needs nudity.
Fiery redhead vixen. Who wants that?
I already got that.
Young, petite, and busty. Perfect Asian
Phoenix.
Princess.
I don't think that's her real name.
Jewel, a perfect Asian princess.
A flawless size 8 brunette. Oh, shit.
I bet you there's going to be some person who's like, yeah, I'd want yummy.
Yeah,
to say there's a woman named the Yumi in Helen's Liaisons.
Yeah.
Free plug.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
we must be doing so much copyright infringement through this thing.
I'm gonna use copyright music and links.
No, as long as you get sued, I'm happy.
I've already been. I was contacted by Sony because I did a remix of Adele and. Dim and Ty.
The best of 30s, 40s, 50s.
When was that?
Yeah, she's really having a lot of fun.
No, I got Sony like contacted me like, you used Adele. I'm like, well, fuck you. I just use it in the next mix. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm over it.
But sorry. I feel like every time I've read excerpts of 50 Shades of Grey, it's awful.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolutely, like,
poor
literature.
I read through it during my break at work, and I flicked to the first sex scene, just because that's the only thing I wanted to
do. Yeah, no.
Straight to the sex
scene. Wait, stop flicking the fucking pages and tell us about the scene.
No, it was nothing. It was just stupid. It was really, really, like, she's just...
Use
really,
the words!
She's really... I don't remember, but she's really, really submissive. And she's got no depth to her. She's like, the way, like, she... at the right before they have sex, she tries to protest. She's like, no, I'm not ready, no.
That kind of sounds like... 50 Shades of Grey.
I was reading it laughing. No, and then he like seduces her, but it's really stupid. I recommend that you read it. It's very entertaining. Just the sex scene.
I'm gonna, I wanna just buy a copy, and when Katie gets home, I just leave it on the bed.
It's like, oh, I was flicking through it. You can tell everybody on public transport who's reading it too.
Oh, I love seeing that. That's always amusing, because it's just like, and it's always people who make the weird, like really, really, really weird
like
faces.
Oh my god, it is.
That does look like Joss Whedon.
It's Horse Whedon.
But it's
Horse Whedon.
That's his brother.
Man, this podcast is not going to be interesting to anyone.
Except for us. We'll just listen back to him.
Laugh back at him.
Yeah.
This would be pretty good. Hang on. I'm going to flick through stuff now.
Well, you can probably stop recording then.
No, I'm pretty cool.
Let's talk about... I know Harry hasn't seen it, but Breaking Bad.
Let's not talk about Breaking Bad yet.
You haven't seen it?
No, I have.
Oh, good.
Of course I have. I saw it an hour after it was released,
man.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed out on this conversation.
We disagree with you.
Yeah.
I was telling him about how you said that the end scene was really lovely and delicate.
No, I liked the scene. I didn't like how Anna Gunn performed.
No, you wrote, I have proof.
I'm just completely ignoring the current
nice
conversation.
Scene.
No, yes, you said it was a nice scene. Look, I have the whole thing
what's
in here
nice
somewhere.
About it?
There is nothing
I like
nice
how
about
he embraced
scene.
Her and she, like, because I got what he was trying to do, that she was, you know, she was fearful of him. He was this monster and it ended with them, you know, closed... holding each other. But I didn't like her acting.
No. She acted
that
scene perfectly.
She underplayed it.
No. She played it fine.
I didn't see enough fear in her eyes.
It was Walt that was meant to be the focus of that scene.
Yeah.
In the way that he was, like, him saying that was him saying,
I have control of you.
Exactly.
Control of you. That's the whole point
of
that
just
scene.
Like, I can now hold this over your head as long as we're...
I was going to originally talk about films that we'd want to see in the future, but I'm just going to read the comics right now.
Like, how he ended the whole scene.
But he didn't do it. It's not a nice scene. It's quite...
I know it's not. I know, and I wanted to see the fear in her eyes more, but I don't know.
I don't think she fully got the ramifications of what he said either. I think that could also have come across through.
That's what I was confused about. Like, was it just my opinion of her acting, or was it actually how it was supposed to be? Was it the director saying?
I think she did underplay it a little bit, but I do think that wasn't the focus of the scene.
I know, I'll have to look.
There's a really funny Garfield in today's one.
Garfield is never funny.
That's pretty funny.
No, is Garfield
it's there's a dog and it's got its mouth closed and it says bark, and then the next panel is the dog's mouth is open, and then the dog mentally says oops, and then Garfield says worst lip syncing I've ever seen.
No, that joke's been made every, like...
That's the first
every,
time.
That was the entire joke that Kung Pao made.
Yeah.
Like, they just stole that joke from, like, the movie's joke kind of thing.
And that was the first episode of The Creative Process. We had to cut it off there because basically we were at McDonald's and the conversation kind of hit it off and I thought I'd just edit some of it out. But anyway, I still want to thank, again, Jessica Canero, Adam Formosa, and Ben Semenchuk. You can actually follow Adam and Jess on Twitter. Adam is at Adam_Formosa, and Jessica is at Jessica E. Canero, and of course I'm at Harrison the Fen. Ben is not on Twitter, but he's busy doing stuff, and hopefully we'll find some social networking site that you can somehow contact him if you want to. I've been Harrison the Fan, and I really hope that eventually I can make these podcasts, maybe not consistent, but I can record them with the people I like, talking about the stuff that I love. And it was a lot of fun. The Dark Knight Rises is a pretty good film, and if you haven't already seen it, which I feel like you really should have before you listen to this podcast, there's a lot of spoilers in there. You should definitely see it. I thought it was a very good film, and it was quite consistent. But you already got that from the podcast. So thank you again for listening to or downloading this podcast, and hopefully we'll have another episode of The Creative Process in the future. So thank you so much.